skit is a little too long for us at this crucial point in Baffled Spears Broadsides. We've got other stuff we want you to hear. We will, however, be continuing with that particular skit, the corporate race, probably on Thursday when we begin at our usual time at 6. We run 6 to 8 on Thursday. With us still is Mama Indy, if I can get her back in the studio. She's a nursing mama with a baby in tow and a three-legged dog, the vicious Weasel, which is threatening to enter the studio and possibly, well, he's luckily staying outside. Most wanted dog. We noticed a number of dogs on Pacific last night in the Halloween ceremonies, all of them yuppie bred and yuppie owned, and apparently there was no problem.
He was sitting in the basket of the stroller.
So you actually had something you wanted to add to your tale of terror on the road.
Oh, I thought we had discussed Rock Springs, Wyoming, but I guess we had never discussed Rock Springs, Wyoming. When we had originally left Santa Cruz, we went to Michigan to visit my husband's family. And on our return trip to California, our van broke down outside, like 70 miles outside of Rock Springs, Wyoming, in the middle of nowhere. And we waited at a roadside parking area for almost 24 hours, talking to truckers and asking them to send help. And no one arrived to help us. And someone in a van arrived and said that his brother had a diesel truck in town and could tow our van into a spot where we would be safe to park and would help us fix our vehicle. So we thought, well, maybe that's why we've been waiting 24 hours. And a long story short, I got in to drive and he held a rifle to the back of my head and it ordered me to drive down this dirt road. I did not do that. And I spun the van into donuts, and my husband and I fought him. My husband got away his knife and stabbed him with it, and we escaped in his vehicle, going and contacting the authorities. They put us up in a motel for the weekend because there were no buses out of town, and asked us to do our depositions and gave us groceries and were being very nice and saying that our vehicle had been taken into safekeeping. At that time, we had a roadside assistance program where if your vehicle broke down and you got it towed, they would pay you back for the tow and then $200 towards repairs. So our plan had been, before the abduction, to call someone, get the money loaned to us, get the vehicle towed in, then have them be paid back by our roadside assistance program. Well, as it turns out, the sheriffs of Sweetwater County had our vehicle impounded, thereby nullifying our roadside assistance. And by law, if you're parked at a roadside area, they give you 72 hours to move your vehicle, and that's after they see your vehicle, which is usually not for a few days anyway. But because of what happened to us, our vehicle was removed immediately, and impound charges started from the time of the kidnapping. Not from the time when they impounded the vehicle, but from the time of the incident, impound charges were attached. So they totally nullified our roadside assistance program, making it impossible for us to be paid back for our vehicle, and impounded our vehicle because we were kidnapped by one of their locals. And when we went to get our stuff out of our vehicle, we discovered four other houses impounded in their vehicle yard. So Rock Springs is taking people's houses away. So be careful. If you go through Rock Springs, they want your house. But the real...
How did you get it out?
We didn't. We ended up buying another vehicle.
When was this?
Almost a year ago. And let's see, October of last year. It happened in October of last year. Well, the real bitch of this whole thing is the man was a local, born and raised in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Women go missing off this highway every 6 months or so and have been for the last 5 or 6 years. But at no time did they think to go over his vehicle for hair or skin or fingernail fibers, or try to find out if he was connected with any of these disappearances in any way. And they bought his story that he was trying to kidnap us for the money and had intended to release us after getting our money from us, even though he had said to us, "You guys don't have any money, do you?" And knew we had no money, They gave the man 5 years probation, put him in a state-funded house, and gave him a state job for the next 5 years.
What's his name?
Dale Wayne Eaton.
So if you happen through
Rock Springs, Wyoming, don't get into a van who looks with a man who looks like he's out of a horror movie or whose name is Dale. He's being set up by the state and given a job by the state so he can buy a new vehicle and a new gun and go out and kill more people.
Wyoming, of course, is the state where Matthew, the gay man, the gay young man, was recently brutally beaten to death. So it looks like maybe a wider spread policy of official hate crime, and this may, in fact, who knows, this other, maybe a number of official hate crimes that have to be dealt with. You can deal with official hate crime here in Santa Cruz by listening to the latest interviews with a few folks on the streets. Let's turn to them.
Okay, it's 11:30, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm here at Eric's Deli talking to
John Rapport.
John
Rapport, Hot Rod,
aka Hot Rod. Hot Rod, you got a camping ticket. Where did this happen?
Behind River Street shelter, where my at Harvey West Park.
And you were in your vehicle?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I got the ticket. I'll have the date, but it was in the morning, 8:56.
What day was this?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I have to get the ticket.
Last week?
2 weeks ago.
And what were the circumstances?
My van was parked there for a little over 3 days, and the policemen, they had marked it for the abatement with two big orange stickers, and then a policeman came and asked, but my friend was talking, it was 8:56 in the morning, daylight, and
which is after the time when the right. Sleeping ban goes into effect, I should say, after it goes out of effect, and how many officers approached you?
One.
Is this a police officer, Parks and Rec?
No, police, Mr. Seeley, it's on the ticket.
Seeley the younger or Seeley the older?
I don't know, but he's a white man, about 30, young,
tall. Seeley the younger. Okay.
Seeley, he blonde hair. If you show me, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then he told my friend, we was standing out by my truck talking to me, and my transmission needed repair. I was waiting for a tow truck, and the policeman says that for him to sit down on the curb, and then he proceeded to open the door of my van. And I was shocked because he wanted to come in. Or the policeman said, come out. I thought he wanted to come in, but he...
You were inside?
We weren't doing anything except repairing, having coffee, and fixing the trying to organize my truck.
Yeah.
And he says that for him to sit down on the curb, and then for me to come out there, and he told me to sit down on the curb.
S-E-A-L-Y.
I got you.
Yeah, and then we did that, and then he wrote me up a ticket for saying, and I said, we're not camping here, man. He
was not camping. I'm an eyewitness, Daniel James Michael Yore, full name.
And Daniel, you were the man that he Seeley directed to sit on the side, on the curb.
Yeah.
Now, what other things did Seeley say in the course of this discussion?
He was in charge of that whole Henry Cowell Park back there, and I only had I had to move my day in my truck a mile out of his area.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, or he's having to give me camping tickets. I says, well, I will. I says, I want to get out of here. But then the people in the neighborhood, the towing company, they were complaining too about other people staying back there. But he didn't have to give me it. We need to fight this ticket in court, all right?
So have you been sleeping in your vehicle since?
I have to, because they rob it and they break the windows and steal parts off of it. But I don't want to stay in town here. I want to go to the gold country. That's why we're getting every talented person we can together wherever to get out of here so we can be independent.
Have you filed a complaint with the Citizens Police Review?
No, no.
Are you interested in doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you how to do that.
Write it down right here.
I will. Anything else you want to say for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Oh, just there's so much to say. I wish we could all band together and find safe havens. And I don't have time all the time to even get myself together. You know where I'm at. I gotta get a place to stay, and that's why all my stuff is in Hollister, and to go to the gold countries where we can have encampments for things to do and make all of these wonderful things happen with fishing and help the environment and to save the planet and each other.
Thank you, Howard.
So ain't no trick or treat, man. It's a happening. We gotta get it all together with radio musicians and drumming and peace and spirit, free spirit and intelligence and education. And get them all right here going. We want to get that town together with Billy, and he's our attorney. For all of us, joint effort, protests, and I'm looking for him every night here at the sleeping van at the post office.
Right, yeah, that was Billy of Berkeley. I think he's got moved on. Well, listen, thank you, Ira. How about you, Dan? Anything you want to add to this?
Well, you know, the homeless people and indigent people are being mistreated from the community service people.
Yeah.
They're $5.75 per hour federal law passed by our president, Bill Clinton.
Clinton.
Yeah, in fact, I remember I was talking to you, Daniel, at the St. Francis Soup Kitchen. You were telling me that the cost now of doing community service rather than paying a fine on one of these camping tickets has risen to at least $50 as a kind of a kickoff fee.
That's correct.
And you also told me that it's interesting that the amount of money that people, in essence, are asked to work off in terms of how much money they would have to do for how much jail time, how much fine time, is about $5 per hour of community service, right?
Right.
Whereas you were commenting this compares rather unfavorably with the minimum wage of $5.75, is that right?
That's what I've been told right from Joe. He works at the community service, and I asked him a direct question. He answered it just the way.
Have you had camping tickets yourself that you've had to pay off?
No, but you know what? The road crew tore up all my stuff that's against my civil rights. I had a no trespassing sign on it, and they still went in it.
Where was this?
It was in my hooch.
Where? You don't want to say where it is, or do we want to say what general area it was in, or? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't think I'm going to say anymore because this is the third.
When did this happen?
Just happened 3 days ago.
Wow. And, who do you believe did this? Private individuals, government people? Who do you think did this?
Government people, the road crew.
I see.
There was a no trespassing sign on it. So just as long as they get wind of when you see something like that, leave it alone. It belongs to a homeless, indigent person who needs their stuff, man.
Right. And banned.
Thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome.
And it happens to me where they want to steal all my trailers and buses and any chance they can get a grab in your tent. So that's why I can't live in this fear. I need it.
It's cold out.
It's terrible for me. I want to help anybody that can help me in any way, shape, or form for the whole planet. I want to be on everything, commercials, camera.
Now, are you interested in, do you have a voicemail here people can contact you at?
I need to get that. That's why I need a place to get all my other things together. I need a professional nurse with me and a travel crew. I can't do it alone. I get too wired and manic.
You got big plans. I'm going to thank you for your information on the camping ticket. And okay, it's October 30th, I guess, 1998. We're at the corner of Soquel and Pacific talking to
Kelly.
And Kelly, it's about noon, and you apparently were down here at what's called Hippie Planter doing some hacky sacking?
Yeah, I was hacking.
You were hacking away. What happened?
Yeah, well, we were just hacking. We weren't really taking up that much room, but, you know, we considered a social type of...
kicking children, overturning baby carriages?
No.
Selling drugs?
Nothing
perhaps.
Like that, no,
screaming
not at,
at the top of your voice.
Enjoying ourselves.
Stripping and doing it naked.
No, none of that, no.
Yeah, oh dear. Perhaps you were attacking police officers, kicking their shins?
No attacking.
Stripping little old ladies.
Not bothering anybody. We were just enjoying the sunshine out on the sidewalk and just hanging out with our friends.
Selling coke?
No. Not selling coke.
Throwing rocks at windows?
No, we were doing nothing violent or anything. It was...
Hanging off key?
Yeah, so the cops came up and they said that...
Is Officer Headley we're talking about?
I'm actually not sure which officer it was.
What day was it?
This was on 2 days ago.
So that would be, it's Friday now, would it be Wednesday evening?
Yeah, I think it was probably Wednesday evening, yeah.
And how many of you were there?
Six. six of us.
Six of you, and yeah. And can you show me where this was happening?
Yeah, Alibaba was closed, and we were just sort of standing right over there, more to the right, near the curb of the road. But we weren't really obstructing any sidewalk, you know. I mean, we were taking up some space, but.
Describe to me what happened then.
Yeah, well, the cops, they came up and they said that they had warned people who were standing there before not to hack there, and I was not one of them, and I guess coincidentally there was another group of us, you know, which was our group, that was hacking in the same spot, so this time they decided to issue us all tickets.
Do you have a copy of your ticket with you?
Yeah.
Perhaps we can take a look at this document. After all, now you are an official criminal.
Yeah, I'm a criminal now.
It's good to know we're dealing with some of the hardcore types. So how long have you been in this life of hacky sack crime?
So
you see, it's a ticket for...
obstructing the sidewalk.
For obstructing the sidewalk, 9.50.010. It's for 10:28 at, it looks like, 7:30, more or less.
Yeah.
And the officer involved is... kind of illegible badge, looks like 120 or 170, but I understand Officer Headley and Officer Bayani were the two officers involved. They're on from, I guess, Sunday through Wednesday, and you were unlucky enough to be there.
Right.
Well, I'm told they're on during that period of time. Be picked up during that period. How many people were observing this? Were a lot of people there?
Yeah, there were a whole bunch of people observing it. And the funny thing is that he gave us a ticket for obstructing the sidewalk, but I think just by him issuing us the ticket and by creating the whole scene, we obstructed the sidewalk for about 20 minutes more than like...
So the ticket process took about 20 minutes?
Yeah, uh-huh.
How many people got tickets?
Six.
Mm-hmm. And what was the reaction of the crowd to this phenomenon?
Yeah, a few came up and you know, sarcastically started complaining that we were obstructing the sidewalk.
That is, the police officers were obstructing the sidewalk?
Yeah, there's a new reporter. Were you the reporter that was here with the tape recorder?
I came by on Tuesday night, and I began commenting when police apparently were the same two officers, Bayani and Officer Headley, had been apparently causing. I'm trying to name it, think of the fellow's name. There was a fellow who they'd been hassling, and they were standing about in a very kind of stiff posture. At least Officer Headley was.
Right.
And I asked them what their business was, and they didn't want to talk about it, so I began making loud speeches about.
Right. Yeah.
That
was
not Wednesday, but that was Tuesday.
Yeah, that was the night before. Right. The night before. Yeah,
apparently my speeches didn't have much impact on these officers, but I didn't expect they would, actually.
Yeah.
It's on the public that we're concerned about.
Right, yeah. I asked him why he enjoyed doing his job, because he was really rude to us, you know. He made us all sit, and he wouldn't let us, like, stand up or just stand there, you know. He was trying to be very controlling and dominant, you know. And I asked him why he enjoyed doing his job, and he said he liked making Santa Cruz a better place. So obviously
free of criminal hacky sacking.
Yeah, free of criminal hacky sacking and obstructing the sidewalk. And you know, when I'm out here on the sidewalk, I really don't feel like people around me are really like objecting to what I'm doing with my, you know, with the people who gather down here.
Broad area.
Because this is a central, you know, this is a central place where people come. It's a place where everybody, you know, a few people know about and they can find their friends here, you know. So we're just gathering here, and it doesn't feel like the people walking by really have a problem. I feel more of a connection just because we're all human beings, and this is a pretty cool town, Santa Cruz, you know. He said he liked making Santa Cruz a better place. So what can you do, you know? So,
did this discourage you? I mean, for example, were you here last night? Did anybody do any hacky sacking last night?
No, I didn't do any hacky sacking, no.
You think that one of the reasons you haven't is because you felt chilled by the officer's ticket?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Just because, you know, I don't... I guess me personally, I'd rather avoid, you know, having to clash with other people if I can, just sacrifice that part of myself wanting to hacky sack, you know what I mean, rather than having to go through all of the
It's like one of your fellow criminal hacky sackers here. Are you two are also a criminal hacky sacker?
Yes, I am.
And I remember talking to you on Tuesday night when it looked like you were somewhat upset by Officer Headley and Bayani's apparent looked like harassment. I wasn't quite sure what they were doing on Tuesday. Now, I know on Wednesday they gave, what, seven tickets or six tickets?
Six tickets.
Did you get a ticket on Wednesday night?
No, I wasn't present at that time.
What about last night? Were you here on Thursday night?
Yes, I was.
Any problems with the police officers?
Well, they just proceeded to give numerous tickets out for people walking their bikes, stuff like that.
Here at what's called Hippie Planet?
Right out here in the courtyard here, right in front of whatever the sandwich stand is here.
And how many tickets did you note actually being given?
Three.
And what were the tickets for?
One was for, there was a lady that was obviously riding her bike on the sidewalk, and one gentleman who proceeded to pull onto the sidewalk, 2 feet onto the sidewalk, get off his bike, and as soon as he stepped off his bike, they rushed him and gave him a ticket. And there was three officers there to give one guy a ticket.
What were the name of the officers involved?
One was the sergeant, I believe.
Sergeant, not Sergeant Hennig, perhaps.
I believe so.
Balding fellow?
No, this is a very stout gentleman.
Sergeant Andy Crane?
There you go.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hacky sack again.
Thank you.
And remember to hug me next time you see me.
Okay,
how
about
hug me? Okay. An officer, Obel or Ope?
Over.
Over, yeah.
Perhaps. Or Eveleth?
No, there was three officers. One was, he's short and balding. I think his name is Ober.
Ober?
Yeah.
So there's an officer, Martin Ober.
Yeah, I think that's...
This is all on Thursday, October 29th. About what time?
That's right. Approximately 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Right.
They're within, 20-minute proximity of either way.
And what were the... Did any of these people, were they local? Were they homeless? Were they young?
The gentleman on the one bicycle was homeless. The lady that got a ticket here, I've never met her, so I couldn't say one way or another.
And who was the third person? What was that?
I didn't really see that whole thing transpire. It had to do with something about panhandling or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And this was all about what time?
Between the proximity of 8 and 10, all three tickets. And they stood here for the better part of an hour.
Did they seem to be looking for trouble?
Totally. Exactly. That's exactly what they were looking for.
What's the consequence of this on the people who are, should we say, hanging out at the planter? Is it tend to chill things?
Well, not much other than,
And we have many more interviews, but we are out of time. And the little red hen has arrived and is clucking. Actually, she's being very, very polite, but she should be clucking at us because we're cutting into her time. We're out of here. See you again on Thursday at 6. Do vote on Tuesday. Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar for City Council. And hopefully you'll get a complete update from David Silva as he calls into one of the other shows, because he just made it back. And maybe can chat with the public through that means. Stay with us, and we'll stay with you.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, oh tell me, heaven is on the earth. No, you don't know what life is really worth. It's an art that needs a scroll. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the skies, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth. And now when you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up.
We can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your right.
Lord, Lord.
Get up, stand up.
Keep us loving on.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
You're sick and tired of your ism, schism, game. Dine and go to heaven in the Jesus name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but
but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you gonna
we
do?
Gonna stand up tall.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You better get up,
stand up
in the morning.
Give it up,
stand up for your rights.
Stand up right now.
Get up,
stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up, don't give it up.
Get up,
stand up.
Stand up for your rights.
Coming up next, Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 2 hours of civil rights interviews, talks, music, dancing, singing, and hopefully you're phoning in. I'm your host, Bathrop Spear Robert Norse. Tonight's guest, Stephen Sullivan, the Pied Piper of Santa Cruz. Special incoming San Francisco calls from Alade Jehudi of the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct. Interviews with Jackhammer John Vance of Berkeley's Cop Watch and street activity there. Stay tuned and call in at 427-3772. Fire on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM for 2 hours, hopefully. And again, our call-in number is 427-3772 if you want to join this folderall. Well, the election is over. The slate that I guess most people listening to this station wanted to win, if you wanted anyone to win, has won. That's Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar. And the question is, will there be any real changes on City Council, or is the Downtown Association going to do its dirty work in a sort of more gentle form? Theoretically, there is a majority now for change on the city council. If we include Catherine Byers, that's Byers, Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, who, for example, could stop redevelopment in the beach flats in the sense of redevelopment that is kind of run by the Canfield Company, and then return it to the community process that they have been urging be done. I suspect that is going to be one of their main priorities, and I suspect they are going to do that. Whether they will stand up for the rights of poor people by repealing the sleeping ban provisions of the camping ban, stopping the downtown ordinances, and instituting a process of conflict reconciliation instead of arresting people for such crimes as hacky-sacking, sitting on the sidewalk, peacefully asking for spare change after dark, that remains to be seen. And really, it is in our hands. If we call these council members, I guess they are council members, though they don't officially go on the city council until November 24th, that's when the council changes hands, we can exert pressure on them to do the right thing. That is really what we need to do now. The kinds of calls that would have been useless with Rotkin, Kennedy, and are still useless with Matthews and Hernandez can actually now be productive, and we can actually turn to deal with council members who might do something. I myself continue to be kind of a groaner and a cynic and a skeptic because, again, the kinds of timetables and commitments, I didn't get any timetables and I didn't get any commitments from the people running for the election on the issue of the sleeping ban. And the sleeping ban was the key issue for me because I think if you start with that one, then you can expand to talk about a change in the whole downtown scene to really include an alternate culture to return Santa Cruz to a broader community-based decision-making process. Speaking of a broader-based decision-making process, I have with me a first-time guest in the studio, a man I've known on and off on the streets for a decade, a musician, an artist, and recently an activist. Well, let's let him introduce himself. Who are you, guest?
Well, thank you for being here tonight. I mean, you know, I've wanted to come in here for a long time, and you know, I appreciate your show and the candor that you have. In the meantime, I am Stephen Sullivan, the Pied Piper, as I'm known. I've been playing on the streets for 20 years, and during that time, I don't put out a hat. I just play music because I enjoy playing music. And I've just formed an organization recently called RADAR, which is Reconstructionists Against Downtown Association Representation. Primarily because just recently, as many of you have seen me in this Christmas video that was broadcast last year on Fox Cable, the Downtown Association put out this video to promote the downtown during the Christmas season, and they just managed to capture me walking down the street one day wearing a jester's hat and playing some music on my flute. And subsequently, I appeared in this video. One of my business associates in Shooting Star Sticker Company had come up to me and said, "We saw you on TV, and your face took up the whole screen, and you were playing this music, and we were really surprised." And I had to go and find a TV set and see for myself that if this was true. And what happened was this video was broadcast as a commercial, probably 200 or 300 times during the Christmas season. To such an extent, I was being bombarded by people that recognized me and would follow me down the street, etc. And I didn't get paid for this, so I went into to the Downtown Association and talked to Linda Steinhau, who
was the head of the Downtown Association at that time.
She was the executive director at that time. Of course, she's no longer with the Downtown Association. She resigned a week following the court case when I took her to court for invasion of privacy and defamation of character. She had never given me a release, and I never got paid anything. And she was claiming that I was like pandering to the cameras, which wasn't true. I was just walking down the street, and suddenly there's this camera on me. And you know, I've been on the news many times, and you have no rights if a news station happens to photograph you. But this was a commercial, and I had my rights. I had my privacy rights, and they were violated. And in court, Judge Salazar listened to her, Ms. Steinhau, lie about the video. She stated that I was only on for less than a second and that my music wasn't being used. And I made this claim to Judge Salazar that she was lying, and I requested a continuance to bring in the video and to prove the fact. And he denied that. He said, "Oh, this is a small claims court. We don't have time for that."
We'd actually heard from Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz how hostile small claims court is, for example, to full trials. You have a right, for example, to a jury trial before you're evicted. And in order to get this, you often have to get through the real hostile bureaucracy that doesn't want to spend the court's time defending the rights of poor people. And you are not a rich man, Stephen, as far as I can see. I mean, I've been to you are not homeless. You're a man who has his own place, and it's a beautiful little place. But it's obvious you've made that through your own sweat and art, and it's not like you're some kind of, Downtown Association upper crust, a business person with lots of thousands of dollars to throw away. And in fact, you actually offered to settle this whole matter for a relatively small sum, right?
Well, evidently, I found out that the other participants in this video were all getting $100, and I felt, well, it would be appropriate if I also got $100 just like them. But money was not the issue, Rob. I mean, the issue here was a violation of my privacy rights, and the fact that not only was Steinhau treating me like dirt, but I felt like looking into this, the matter, that the Downtown Association had treated a lot of other people this way, and in your experience, you can probably agree with me that they have this secret political agenda that they're trying to enforce upon the downtown, and they're using the businessman's money, and there's a mandate to pay this fee by all the businesses downtown.
You're talking, I think, about the Downtown Assessment District, which is a sort of a... I'm not as versed in this as I should, but I did follow a little of it when Margaret Marr, a local attorney and civil rights advocate who was one of the people behind the ill-fated Citizens Police Review Board, but who really wanted to make a much stronger board and who fought for that unsuccessfully, she went to the city council to try to make sure that her downtown business, she's an attorney, she has a business downtown, was not mandatorily assessed. And because the way that the assessments were being used, apparently, she took serious exception to. The Downtown Association does have closed meetings. I wouldn't call them secret because I don't imagine, but I imagine they do have numerous decision-making conferences with each other, the bigwigs in the organization. And that probably is, doesn't happen publicly or not even with most of the downtown merchants knowing. I do know that their meetings, their board meetings, are not open to the public. They are behind such programs as the Hosts, which is the group of folks with the green shirts who go up and down the mall. Generally, I regard them as harassing poor people for sitting on the sidewalks, sitting on the planters, peacefully asking for spare change. They regard themselves much differently. I did an interview with one of the Hosts today, the fellow in the wheelchair named Bob, who's actually the supervisor for the Hosts. But the Downtown Association, I have not had too much pleasant to say about in the last 5 years. I've got to admit that I'm not the most educated man on the Downtown Association situation. I do know that their candidate, in my view, even though they didn't officially endorse her because they're not allowed to endorse any candidate, was Linda Steinhau, their former executive director. And I had lots of criticism for Linda Steinhau. In fact, almost every flyer I put out, and there were about five or six of them, attacked Steinhau specifically for essentially maintaining a facade of being pro-homeless, pro-poor, pro-community, when actually I felt she was a very narrow interest candidate who fundamentally was the kind of the creature of the Downtown Association. Partially, I got to tell you, this was my intuition and my sense listening to her talk about such things as the Canfield Company sellout and the sleeping ban. I focused myself, I have to admit, on a few particular issues. And I've got nothing against Linda Steinhau as a human being. I mean, she's never invited me to dinner. I regard her as your sort of standard upper middle class woman who, knows how to maintain a certain public image. We are civil to each other in public. But I did hear about your case. I know you came up to me about 4 or 5 months ago and told me you were really hopeful of a settlement in small claims court. We ran into each other in the coffee roasting company. You were even going to go on the air at that time, but you were not trying to make it a big issue. You were not trying to wave a flag. You weren't a big advocate for this or that. You were simply trying to get your just due. That was my feeling.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's really what I was trying to do, and that's correct, and I'm still continuing that process. As of today, I went in and filed a small claims action for perjury against the Downtown Association and Linda Steinhau in the amount of $3,000. And they will.
The ante is rising.
It's going up because there is a punitive aspect to this in the way I've been treated. And they will have to appear in court on December 10th at 1 o'clock in Department 7. That's Judge Richard McAdams' court. And they will have to answer to these charges. And And to that effect, Rob, I would like to ask anyone that would like to be a witness in this court case, that anyone that has seen me on this Christmas video and can testify that I was on for several seconds and that my own personal music was used, I would really appreciate it if they would show up or
contact. Maybe you can have them give you a call. Do you have a phone number that they should contact you at?
They can contact me at 477-4117. And that's a message phone, and they can leave a message, and I will get back to them.
Give that number again, Steve.
That is Pied Piper 477-4117.
Now, let's describe your appearance so folks might recognize you. The thing that I notice most about you when I see you publicly is you have this jester's cap, sort of a gaily colored jester's cap, multicolored, and your hair is a sort of a grayish, dark grayish, kind of a... Three Stooges, I would say, perhaps. You're slim of build. You're about, what, 5'10"?
I'm about 5'11". My hair's not quite as gray as yours.
But it'll be getting there.
I wear many hats, and during the video I was wearing a green jester's hat, which had, bells hanging off of it. Yeah, I really did look ridiculous that day, I must add. And, had I known I was going to be on a Christmas video, I probably wouldn't have worn that particular hat, or I wouldn't have even been there, because I do avoid publicity whenever possible. I've never been in the Sentinel. I've never really been visible except for in person.
And you've also been quite a photojournalist. You've done much kind of long-distance photography and close-up photography of public events, like the protests, the sit-down protests. You have a beautiful collages that I've seen, and I guess that's only a fraction of your photographic work.
That's right. I've done a study of the street scene primarily has been my subject matter, and I've got thousands of photos of street people and all assorted types of people that walk the streets in Santa Cruz, and some of them have disappeared hence. But in the meantime, I avoid cameras because as a professional juggler in Canada back in the 70s, I was inundated with the photographers continually, and I was on national television. I juggled for Premier Trudeau in his campaign re-election in 1974. I was in Life magazine. So I had my share of being visible. And so when I came to Santa Cruz, I was more or less trying to keep a low profile.
And you also, I guess when I first came to know you, you also acquired a reputation as the Pied Piper. Now, how did that happen? You want to give us some of the background on that?
Well, I had applied for a grant. There was this earthquake money that was available in 1992, and I had applied for a grant of just $1,500, I believe it was, to help me out as the Pied Piper. It wasn't a name I took upon myself. It was a name that everyone kept calling me. And I was denied that grant subsequently, but I did make the front page of the Sentinel as the Pied Piper on that occasion.
Yeah, I think to some extent there was you lived in your vehicle for a while. Was that part of the?
Well, that's not part of anything. That's part of the being homeless and not being able to find adequate housing. I've been homeless. I was living in a vehicle for 10 years, in fact.
And you had some mice as friends, as I understand.
Well, yeah, I had occasionally a rat for a friend. In fact, I was raising rats in a car back in the 80s, and I was charged with public nuisance for raising rats in a car, and at that time I was labeled Rat Man.
The infamous Rat Man, from Rat Man to Pied Piper, man, what can I say? It's a progression.
Well, there's actually a cartoon that was in the Chronicle that was actually a portrayal of that metamorphosis, and I still have a copy. I'll show you sometime what that is.
Well, you and I talked yesterday, I think it was, or perhaps the day before, and you showed me this flyer that you've been putting out. Apparently you went around, you distributed this to every downtown business, or many of the downtown businesses.
Only 100 of them, but they were the primary businesses that had store frontage on the Pacific Avenue area.
And this flyer, Reconstructionists Against Downtown Association Representation, RADAR, the name of the group that you're forming, is currently conducting a survey, I'm reading from the flyer, of downtown Santa Cruz business owners about the continued presence of the Downtown Association
Santa Cruz has sufficiently recovered from the 89 earthquake to the extent that it no longer needs the representation of the Downtown Association supported by a mandate of excessive assessment fees. It's time to lift this burden to ease the flow of consumerism. If you are in disagreement with this premise, please contact Radar at 477-4117, sponsored by Shooting Star Sticker Company, which is your business group. I guess you showed me some of the work. It's a sort of very colorful decals.
Well, what I've created is, over 20 years, I've created a series of star mandalas. And just 3 years ago, I had a corporate merger planned with a printer in Chicago. And when that rescinded, he had offered me $100,000 to buy me out. And I maintained my company after refusing his offer. And now I have a portfolio that I'm putting forward for venture capitalists, which is a product that celebrates the 21st century. And it's a very colorful product. There's probably about five or six levels of this product: stickers, decals, letter seals, and they're all pretty much star fractal designs.
But this latest flyer of yours is really sort of a venture into activism, into community activism. You see what you regard as abusive behavior, I guess, first of all, impacting you in terms of the Linda Steinau, and I guess maybe she felt she was representing the Downtown Association, refusing to acknowledge you, probably because I can't speak for her, but perhaps based on the kinds of campaign statements she's made over the years, her support for such infamous programs as the Real Change, Not Spare Change, Throw a Little Piece of Paper at a Homeless Person but Don't Give Him a Quarter campaign, which she was a big booster of. Maybe it was a lack of respect for you, and a sense of contempt for the power that she felt you didn't have, and therefore she felt well justified in ignoring your request for $100, perhaps scandalized and shocked that you would even dare to make such a request. And so initially the court turned you down in this regard, or I guess they haven't turned you down. Let me get this clear. In the midsummer, you had expected a victory, and you didn't get the victory you expected in the summer, right?
Well, it's because she committed perjury. And now, if she would have told the truth, the judge would have had the facts, and he would have been able to judge accordingly that this was a case of violation of privacy. And since I didn't have a release, and I wasn't hired, then my privacy rights were prima facie evidence. I mean, there was no question about it. I mean, my rights were violated. And so I went on to try to work with them in the meantime. And I still requested, please just